Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, continuing the countdown to Super Bowl 53. We got another great guest joining us today. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. He spent 11 years in the NFL. He spent the majority of his time with the New York Giants playing defensive end from 1983 to 1992. Spent 1 year with the New York Jets and 1 year with the Washington Redskins. He's a two-time Super Bowl champ and a two-time Pro Bowl selection. He is Leonard Marshall joining us on the phone right now. Leonard, a pleasure to get you on today. Thank you.
You're quite welcome, sir. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So whenever I say the name Leonard Marshall, it's kind of synonymous with the 1990 NFC Championship game. I guess that's a great place to start with this conversation. That's what you're most known for. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Your hit on Joe Montana in that contest that kind of changed the course of history. I'm sure you get that a lot, right?
Well, I get it quite a bit. You know, and the one thing that people like to reflect upon is the fact that they were going for a three-peat that day, and there was a chance and opportunity for them to play for a third championship 3 years in a row, and we were the ones that were looking to knock them off the block a little bit.
You guys did play the 49ers earlier that season, and we'll talk a little bit more about that particular hit, but you lose to San Francisco in the regular season. I believe the final score was 7-3. You get a second crack at them in the NFC Championship, and I guess the coach that is relevant to Super Bowl 53 is the fact that Bill Belichick is your defensive coordinator during that 1990 season. What did you learn about San Francisco, and what do you remember about the preparation going into the NFC title game?
I remember the first time we played them that we weren't really in full throttle position. I mean, we had some players that were recovering from injury. We didn't have all our ducks in a row. And, you know, I was a guy who wasn't really implemented in the lineup at that time. Even though we were 10-0, you know, Parcells was trying to teach me a lesson, more or less, from holding out in training camp. By not letting me start the first play of the game and really get my juices flowing and get my my timing down and in terms of really getting into the game. So I had to be a player that came off the bench and made plays like that coming off the bench. So the second time that we played them, we had a bad taste in our mouth because we lost the first game 7-3 in their park, on their turf. And but yet, we didn't have all our ducks in a row. The second time we played them, we made sure that we went there with everything in our arsenal, and we didn't want to leave anything to be left unturned. We wanted to make sure that when we left there, we left victorious, and if we didn't leave victorious, that it would more or less be a body bag game where either they knocked us out or we knocked them out.
Well, you definitely delivered a knockout in that particular contest. What do you remember about the play where you not only knocked Joe Montana out of the game, it's basically, that was the last time Joe Montana ever started in a San Francisco 49er uniform, kind of changing the course of history, as you mentioned, making sure there was no three-peat. The Niners would not go to three straight Super Bowls. Leonard, what do you remember about that play specifically?
Well, I slipped, you know, the ball snapped, and I'm eyeing the football, so I can get a jump on the pass rush in the situation, especially being the weak side defensive end in the scheme of our defense, and the guy who most quarterbacks feared. I wanted to make sure that I got a good jump off the ball, and the grass was so thick, candlestick, and the field was wet. Seemed like it wet the field before the game, so I lost my footing on the snap of the football. Then next thing I know, there's a guy diving at my feet, trying to take my knees out, pretty much cut me down, and I end up crawling. And as I end up crawling, trying to get there, I look up, and he still got the football. The next thing I know, he extends his left hand to tell Jerry Rice to continue running. And as I've seen him extend that left hand, I said, okay, if I don't leave my feet and separate him from the football, they're going to score a touchdown here. The game's over. So I leave my feet, I dive. The next thing you know, I separate him from the football. Now, Mark Collins ended up whiffing the football. But I was hoping that it was one of those glamorous plays where, you know, LT catches the ball in the air, running it for a touchdown, and we put the game completely out of reach.
That obviously didn't happen, but the defense did make a big play. And sometimes I feel like your hit on Joe Montana takes away from the fact that you guys had to force a turnover late in that game to get a victory, and you did.
Well, we forced a turnover and we ran a trick play on a fourth down with Gary Reed, as we faked the punt, and they had 10 men on the field, and we had everybody accounted for. We had practiced that play all week long because we knew that we had a chance to run a fake field goal on them or a fake punt on them, that we would take the shot to do it. And just so happened, we were at the plus, I think we were at the minus 45-yard line. And Gary decides to run a fake. He calls it perfect. And they run a counter play right up the middle, and he goes for, like, I think 27 yards. It puts us in field goal range for Matt Farr to kick a field goal, which became the game-winning field goal.
Following that game, you guys go right into the Super Bowl. There wasn't 2 weeks in between games like there is today. When you knock off the San Francisco 49ers at Candlestick, you end their quest to go on a three-peat. The momentum, I'm sure, that you guys accumulated from that game was nearly unstoppable going into the Super Bowl against the Buffalo Bills.
Well, we knew we were believers at that point. I mean, we knew we were the better team, and you know, we knew that from the loss that we received in the season when we were 10-0. You know, to go back home 5 hours, think about that game all the way home 5 hours, and now you're 10-1. We want to make damn sure that we get another shot at those guys. And we said amongst ourselves, we were the better team today, just that the better team didn't win. But if we get a shot, whether we get a shot in our place or their place, we're going to make sure we take advantage of it. And just so happened, we go on the road and we beat them in their park. And it was a convincing win. I mean, it was a 5 field goal game for us. And, you know, even though they scored a touchdown, a field goal, it was a 5 field goal game for us. We knew that we weren't going to leave it in the minds of our fans, that we weren't the better football team that day.
Again, we're being joined right now by Leonard Marshall, former defensive end in the NFL, played 10 years with the New York Giants, won 2 Super Bowls. Leonard, this is something I've always wondered. Defensively, you guys were so good in that game, in the 1990 NFC Championship, but it comes down to Matt Barr kicking a field goal. And if we go to the Super Bowl, it's kind of a similar situation where you guys win on a missed field goal. So for someone who has done their part, and I know there's 3 elements to football, offense, defense, and special teams, but when you have done your part and the game is no longer in your hands with everything riding on it, how nerve-wracking is it to be on the sideline during that situation?
Well, it's extremely nerve-wracking. But today's football, you know, is a lot different than football was back when I played. When I played, the games were defensive struggles. When I played, they weren't these high-powered offenses. Teams scoring 45 and 50 points a game. That was unheard of. You know, we wouldn't allow that as a defensive football team. We wouldn't allow it. And they didn't throw the ball as much as they throw the ball now. Now, you know, the ball's in the air, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 times a game now, you know, versus the ball being run, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 times in the course of a game. So, as a matter of fact, you know, Bill Parcells had a motto: if we can run the ball in November, we can win in December. And that's because your running game gears up between September and October, and then in November you really get it going the right way, and in December you just begin to dominate people. And that's what we did as an offensive football team. We hit you with a strong running attack and a quarterback who couldn't lose the game. We didn't ask him to win it, but we just asked him not to lose it.
Leonard, you were a part of 2 Super Bowl championship squads, Super Bowl 25, and again the 20-19 win over the Buffalo Bills, but also Super Bowl 21 and a 39-20 win over the Denver Broncos. Which one means more to you? I don't know if that's a stupid question or not, but does one mean a little bit more when you look back on your career?
Well, you know, both games mean an awful lot. I mean, I got a chance to play with opposite two of the greatest linebackers to play the game. Both guys are in the Hall of Fame. I'm very proud of that, because I had a lot to do with their success as well as they had with mine, and that's Harry Carson and Lawrence Taylor. So the fact that I got a chance to watch Harry Carson walk out as a winner the last couple of years of his career, and I get a chance to win 2 championships with the greatest football player to play opposite me and play for the United States and Lawrence Taylor, you know, one of the greatest things I have to look back on in my career. Hopefully one day I'll get a chance to sit around and tell my grandkids a story about that guy and some of the things that I witnessed that he could do, not only on the football field, but the quality of person and the quality of man that he's become now that football is over for him, for both of us, really.
I think when you look back on the history books, the 1990 New York Giants, I mean, they got to be looked upon as one of the greatest teams, definitely one of the most historical teams as well. I did mention Bill Belichick, your defensive coordinator. Now Bill Belichick is going for his unbelievable 9 times this guy has gone to the Super Bowl as a head coach. What do you remember about playing for Bill Belichick as your DC?
His attention to detail. His attention to detail and his eye for talent was unbelievable. And the fact that he made sure that, you know, he didn't leave a stone unturned in terms of preparation, game plan, and execution. He demanded a lot, and we tried to give him a lot. And as a football player, he challenged me every day to be better than my best, week in and week out. And I think that's the thing that he carries with him to New England. You know, I hear stories from players all the time, but he's always in the locker room talking about, when I coached Leonard Marshall, he did this. When I coached Lawrence Taylor, he did this. When I coached Harry Carson, he did this. This is how I want you to do it. You know, and I've heard this from Jarvis Green. I've heard this from Henry Thomas. I've heard this from Willie McGinnis. I've heard this from several players. And they all say that, you know, he can never get away from his first 2 championships, which was with guys like myself and the men that I mentioned. And I think that that's what really shaped his career and his life in football, was the times he had in New York. Every time I watch the Chronicles of Bill, the two Bills, I watch him walking in and out of the Giants locker room with tears in his eyes because, you know, he really wanted, to be honest with you, I think he really wanted to do all the things that he's doing now in New England. He wanted to do them in Big Blue here in New York and give these people what he always wanted to give them, which is, you know, a successful organization, one that he can look back on in his legacy and say, you know, look at the house that the two Bills built together.
Leonard, there's so much more I would love to talk to you about. However, I got a break for a quick commercial. Any way you can hang around and do one more segment with us?
You got it. You got it.
It's excellent. We have more coming up with former New York Giant and 2-time Super Bowl champion Leonard Marshall when we return on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, continuing a conversation with our current guest, Leonard Marshall, former defensive end in the NFL, played for the New York Giants from 1983 to 1992, also had short stints with the New York Jets and the Washington Redskins. Leonard, you did mention playing among two of the greatest linebackers in the history of the game, one being Lawrence Taylor. That's always a name that's going to be synonymous with defensive football in the NFL. What was it like playing with someone like Taylor, who was a kind of an innovator from that position, someone that dominated on the field, and of course, as you mentioned, you had a big part of that playing on the defensive line. What's it like helping someone with the ability of Lawrence Taylor?
Well, you know, his will and his ability to take his team and put his team on his back and carry them over the hurdle, whatever hurdle they could try to overcome, was just amazing. I mean, you know, his intensity was amazing. His team speed and his gift to the club was unmeasured. And I think the greatest talent that Lawrence had was he didn't speak it. He just did it. And that's what I liked about him, and that's what I enjoyed doing with him and playing, you know, opposite him, is the fact that he didn't talk about it, he just lived about it. And, you know, those memories are very fond memories. I mean, I can remember beating the Redskins 3 times the same season, you know, the Giants having a ticket tape parade in the stadium after the game because Bear Koch wouldn't give us a ticket tape parade in Manhattan. So, you know, he wanted to make damn sure that we made a mark in New York that fans would never forget, and, you know, the organization would never forget, and it would be synonymous with, you know, the great teams of the 80s that we put on the field and that won those championships.
Leonard, I remember talking to Fran Tarkenton not that long ago, and there's a quarterback that had a lot of success but never won a Super Bowl, and he said great players should be judged on their performance on the field, not on how many championships they won. If I go back over the course of your career, I mean, 1985 was probably your best season statistically. You had almost 16 sacks. You had 99 tackles that year. But if we go to that 1990 season, where you guys did win a Super Bowl, the 1991 season, in your mind, what means more? Statistically, your best season, one of your best seasons statistically, or winning a Super Bowl in your mind?
I think a combination of both. I mean, you know, during the course of my career, I played three Pro Bowls. I'm all NFL four times. I'm defensive lineman of the year twice. You know, I'm MVP of the team three times. I'm playing with two of the greatest linebackers to play the game, in Taylor and Carson. And I don't want to forget that other guy, number 58, who raised a lot of hell on the opposite end of our defense. And Carl Banks. So, you know, I think the thing that means the most to me right now, as I sit back and look back upon things, is the front seven we played with was incredible. The front seven we played with will never be fieldable again in the National Football League. Teams just couldn't afford to do it. And the four guys that played behind us were just amazing as well. I mean, Mark Collins, Kenny Hill, Terry Kennard, Perry Williams, Greg Jackson, Myrick Guyton. I could just go on and on. Herbie Welch. I can go on and on and on about those guys. They were not only great men and great players, but they were extremely good men in the locker room. Good guys to have on your ball club.
You definitely had a stellar career. If we go back to the 1989 season, you're on record of saying that the loss to the Los Angeles Rams in the playoffs was gut-wrenching because you felt like that team, your Giants squad, was the best team in the league. Again, we have a great highlight from that particular game with Flipper Anderson running through the tunnel. Does that count as the most gut-wrenching loss of your career?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I ended up buying a home in Florida right after the season ended. Because that was such a gut-wrenching loss. I ended up buying a house in Florida. Then in the off-season, a huge part of the off-season in Florida, because I just couldn't take coming back here facing the fans, knowing that we were a better football team. And that 89 team should have won a championship, to be honest with you. That's how good it was.
Yeah, you know, anytime you have a one-and-done tournament, I've asked this several times to professional athletes, how often does the best team actually win the Super Bowl when it's a one-and-done type tournament?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I always think about that. I always think about what if, you know, and then I go back to one of those Bill Parcells analogies. You know, in terms of what if, he would always say, what if a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his butt before he landed. I'm like, okay, I'll have to use that someday.
Leonard, what's the biggest difference about playing for Bill Parcells compared to Bill Belichick, if you had to differentiate the two?
Both guys were intense. One guy was more attention to detail than the other. Both fierce competitors. One guy was a motivator. Then the guy was the guy who just thought of it, and he'd tell you how he wanted it, and he expected you to deliver it that way. I think that's the difference between the two Bills. But one guy taught me toughness. One guy taught me what integrity was in the game, and to believe in what you see and not what you hear, and hit everything that's in your area. And I think that's the biggest thing that I took back in the game. Is I took a little different hold of them, combined it into one thing, and made it work for me.
If someone would have told you that back in your playing days, if someone would have told you that Bill Belichick would go down as one of the greatest football coaches in the history of the game, would that have surprised you?
No, it wouldn't have surprised me. As a matter of fact, I told people some 10, 15 years ago that they're going to end up changing that award and calling it the Belichick Award instead of the Lombardi Award, because I thought that he would change the face of the game, and he's actually showing you that. I mean, I can't think of any coach with 9 Super Bowl rings ever. As a matter of fact, they're going to end up reshaping the trophy because of this guy.
Yeah, I don't think you could really argue with that. I mean, the fact is that we'll never see a dynasty like this again. I know there's a lot of people out there that hate the New England Patriots, but I'm constantly telling them, Leonard, you have to appreciate what we're seeing, because I don't think we're ever going to see anything like this again.
Everybody hates a winner. Everybody hates a winner. It's always like that, you know. And I'm, you know, it's sad, but it is what it is, and that's just the way the world works, you know. I hear people now telling me, you know, I'm tired of seeing Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. If you're tired of seeing him in the Super Bowl, help your team get better.
Yeah. I got to ask you a question about rivalries before we wrap things up. You played for the New York Giants from 83 to 92. You ended your career as a member of the Washington Redskins in 1994. Was that difficult to put on a Redskin jersey after everything you had been through in New York with the Giants?
My greatest regret in my career is I'm 8-3. I'm playing defensive tackle for the New York Jets. I'm completely out of my element. I'm playing a brand-new position. I'm replacing a great defensive lineman for the Jets in Dennis Byrd, who got injured the season before, and it was a career-ending injury. And we're 8-3. I break my forearm in December. The Jets go on to lose the last remaining ball game of the season, and they miss the playoffs. I wanted to win for Leon S. so bad because the man treated me with, like, gold. When I joined the organization, they rolled out the red carpet, and I'm telling you, all the way through the development of that football team and trying to help Bruce Cosman and Pete Carroll and a young defensive coordinator and a young defensive line coach and Greg Robinson really put a good team on the field that could compete in the AFC East. That's my greatest regret, that I couldn't win for Leon S. That I didn't give that man an opportunity to win.
When people look back on your football career, are you okay with the idea that you're remembered by the hit on Joe Montana? Are you okay with that?
I am. I mean, it's part of my career, my legacy in football. So I kind of am. I'm saddened that, you know, the impact of the play had the profound effect on his career that it did. But yet, you know, it's part of the game and nature of the beast. So, and I understand that, and I'm quite sure he does. And I've seen Joe several times, and, you know, I've said things to him that, you know, to pretty much let him know that, you know, I am sensitive to it. I feel horrible for what happened. However, you know, it's the nature of the beast. I mean, you know, it's part of the deal. So, and he understands that, and a lot of his teammates do as well. So, you know, one thing I do look back on that I'm very proud of is the men that I lined up with and I played with, that they're all still men, and none of them are in jail and having all kinds of problems and all kinds of health issues. Many of them are doing well. We're still as close as ever, the 86 team guys and the 90 team guys, and that means an awful lot.
Last question before I let you go, Leonard. How much do you pay attention to the NFL game today? And with that, I got to go in for your Super Bowl prediction for Super Bowl 53.
I mean, I watch. I'm a fan. I love some of the young guys, the characters that are in the game. They now allow you to dance and do all your craziness when you score now and you make big plays and all that stuff. They kind of took that part of the game from us back when I was playing, but now they're allowing that back in the game, and I think it's colorful. And I think it's entertainment for the fans, and I like the fact that they do that. You know, in terms of the game, my team was a team that got pushed out, New Orleans. I'm a Saints fan. You know, I'm from New Orleans, so from that area. And, you know, was rooting hard for the Saints, hoping that Drew Brees made it and got a chance to go to the big show again. But unfortunately, his team is not in it this year. So, because he's not in it, I got no other thing to do than other than root for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. So my prediction is New England by 7.
I can't wait to see what Bill Belichick has for this Rams defensive line, because you being a former defensive end, I'm sure you can appreciate the fact that New England's going up against Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, Michael Brockers, and Dante Fowler. It's a lethal front four.
I'm dying to see what he does against that high-powered offense. I mean, if you go back and look at what we did playing a high-powered offense in Buffalo Bills, we played two defensive linemen, five linebackers, and four defensive backs. Against the Bills, and we dared them to throw the football. We conceded the running game to Thurman Thomas. In fact, Thurman Thomas had 130, 40, 50 yards in the game. But we made sure we took away the deep ball, the deep throw, and the passing lanes for Jim Kelly. So they didn't beat us with the big deep end cuts and the long ball plays. We made them throw the ball short, dump it off, and then make sure we tackle a guy in bounds. So it's going to be interesting to see how he game plans against this high-powered Rams offense and whether or not he let Todd Gurley run the football or not.
Absolutely. Leonard Marshall, again, it's such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for the time. And enjoy Super Bowl 53. It was a pleasure to hear some of your memories.
I'll do my best. Thank you very much.
Again, that's two-time Super Bowl champ Leonard Marshall joining us on Drive Time Sports. We are out of time. Do not forget, tomorrow we have a huge show. We'll be joined by New England Patriot running back James White, also backup quarterback Brian Hoyer, and Denver Bronco all-time great Steve Atwater. That's coming up on Drive Time Sports tomorrow. Be safe. I'm out.